This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark. Today I have the pleasure of speaking with Wan Ahmad Faisal Wan Ahmad Kamal, Deputy Minister of Youth and Sports, as well as Chief of Armada, the youth wing of Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia. Faisal, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for inviting me.
So I think the first thing that we need to address, Faisal, before we move on to other issues, is the video that emerged recently on social media, purportedly showing you on the campaign trail during the campaigning period for before the Bersatu elections, promising to leverage on your position as a deputy minister and as well as within Bersatu to issue support letters in exchange for support during your campaign. In your words, perhaps, tell us what was happening in the video.
Yeah. First and foremost, the leaked video was taken out of context and it was distributed and framed in a very bad intention to discredit my name and credibility. But nonetheless, I think I owe an explanation to the public with the context of the video. As you correctly stated, I was on my campaign trail for my youth chief position. But I was speaking in the context as deputy minister, because when I went down campaigning all over Malaysia, most of the areas that I've been were basically rural areas. And when I asked the youth in those areas whether they have received or able to get benefit from whatever announcement made by the government, especially on Penjana and Prihatin, most of them sadly said that they were not aware and they were pretty much clueless on how to apply the incentives, the grants and all other matters that already been announced by the government. I think with this context, it is understandable that for all leaders that have their constituencies at the grassroots level, they have to do something to help them. They are not really IT literate. They don't know how to apply using online system, and all those stuff. So one of the shortest way to help and assist them is by facilitating them to apply those either grants or any other opportunities that we can help in order to make their lives better from the rural areas perspective. So that was the context, actually. It was not something that I simply dished out. For example, in the minds of the urban people, I dish out projects. No. That was never came into the discussion. It was all about how to empower and uplift the youth in the rural areas so that they can receive the assistance already announced by the government. And they are eligible for all of those announcements.
So to be clear then, Faisal, you have never offered to use your position to issue letters of support in order to lure over potential voters. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Well, I think the main issue when it came to talking about these letters of support and a lot of the backlash stemmed from the fear that these letters of support have been linked to breaches of procedure in the past. The concern is that they are open to abuse. So considering that, do you still plan to issue them?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fully aware of the discussion involving this issue of support letter. Remember, I was the special functions officer to the minister during the Pakatan Harapan government. I was fully briefed by MACC about what the do's and don'ts from the office of minister and to the minister himself, whether we can issue support letter or not. The issue that being discussed is this. Support letter as it is doesn't have any power to begin with. It is only like a reference letter, like a recommendation letter when you write CVs to enter universities or to apply for jobs. Those letters do not carry any weight except to strengthen and also to support the application. It cannot overrule the procedures in place. So I believe this is what currently being practiced by the government of Perikatan Nasional. We are very clear about this. Support letter is only a mean to endorse, nothing being stated about approval or guarantee approval of getting such help, assistance, grants, incentives. So from the representatives of people, those who, whether you are senators or you are ministers or you are parliamentarians, there's nothing wrong with it. As long as you, as long as the support letter does not entail you break the rules or you bypass the procedures that are already in place within the ministries, within respective ministries.
I suppose the concern is also just over the criteria for issuing support letters, right? Because, say for example, if you have a ministerial post, that carries a lot of weight. So if you are issuing a support letter, you know, what makes you a better arbiter of a person's proposal compared to the existing systems of check and balances that are already put in place?
Yeah, that's, this is the issue. The issue is, as you may know, we cannot issue any support letter for project-related items. Yeah, and furthermore, whatever support letter being dished out or being issued by ministers or deputy ministers, the application will be overseen by independent committee of civil servants. Yeah, because I think the government, they have quite airtight procedures when it comes to evaluating applications, whether for scholarships. So this will not impair or undermine the rule of law that being practiced by the government. So support letter is more like a comfort letter, actually, because you want to show to the people that you care, you understand their concerns, and you just amplify their voice, but never guarantee, assure them they will definitely get there. If they were to be getting the whatever they ask from the government, it is because by coincidence, they have the merit to get to be assisted by the government regardless whether they apply for monetary assistance or grants or in kind. So I believe that's what currently being practiced, and there's nothing wrong with it.
So as Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia's youth chief, as well as deputy youth minister, I also want to get your take on the current talk of a youth party that has been proposed by your former boss, Syed Saddiq Syed Abdul Rahman. And this party is specifically for youths in order to represent youth issues. But considering that there are, like, you yourself are chief of a youth wing of an existing party, what might this youth party do that you cannot?
Well, from our point of view as Armada, the youth wing of Bersatu, we promote and celebrate democracy at all levels. So, and any attempt to empower youth to be more participatory in our democracy is very much welcome. So I would like to very much welcome my former colleague and my friend to be for his movement to create a youth-based party. I think that will spur more interest among our youth to be, especially among the Bumiputra youth, to be more involved in our democracy. I think it's very good.
But what kind of a position does that leave existing youth wings? Because, you know, the talk about a youth party has also raised some questions about the existing role of youth wings and even women's wings in the political parties that we have today. Are these wings effectively only supporting staff to the main branch of the party?
Okay. This is the issue that I have with or against the new youth party mooted by Syed Saddiq and his colleagues. First and foremost, politics cut across generation. It's not about age group. It is about ideology, your narrative of nation building. If you basically confine your movement to some sort of age group kind of struggle, it is relevant to a certain degree, but not be able to carry the whole spectrum and holistic perspective of what politics can bring to the table. So I believe whatever challenges thrown by Syed Saddiq and his friends, using whatever slogan they are coming up with, the old and established traditional parties, based on the current structure where you have youth wing and also the women's wing, they're still relevant because we work as a team and we cater to all levels of society. And we have one common narrative and clear hierarchy which promotes merit and also promote progressivism in our policy making. So I don't see any problems of me being part of a traditional party to still champion youth-based issues. Armada is very much committed to champion and help youth of Malaysia in nation building.
And yet, when you look at the prominent leaders of the parties, typically they are led by members of the main branch, in effect, men who are certainly no longer within the youth category. So it does raise some questions over whether or not youth wings like Armada are being sidelined or are being placed lower down on the hierarchy, where you are not as effective in bringing forward issues pertinent to the youths of today and less effective, certainly, compared to a dedicated youth party.
Okay, this is what makes us different than other established Malay-based parties. Bersatu membership is largely based from Armada demography. Meaning to say about half of our members are youth members. And some of our members among Armada already becoming chief divisions. Like myself, I'm a chief division, Titi Wangsa. And also we have been given plenty of opportunities to be involved in party machineries at the policymaking level in the high council position, where the president himself, the Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, very much acknowledge and recognize the importance of Bersatu to be very much friendly to the youth. And regardless of the spirit of making or celebrating youth to be part of the party, I think we must acknowledge that politics is a serious business and it requires wisdom. And wisdom can only come with age. Hence, to be able for senior leaders to be at the helm of the party is still crucial, because we all know managing country is not a small thing. And we require synergy, actually, between the young and the seasoned, I would call not old, seasoned politician, to guide us towards a better future for Malaysia. So please, I very much reject this generational war that currently brewing in Twitter. Use all the negative word like boomers. And also, I also abhor the way some parliamentarians heckling Syed Saddiq and the rest of the young MPs in parliament, which is also wrong and against the very fabric of our people. So Armada is committed to rejuvenate Malaysian politics by bringing more youth into participation, but we will never sideline or try to specialise our movement to be youth-centric, because we cater for all Malaysians, regardless race, creed and age group.
I'm speaking with Wan Ahmad Faizal, Wan Ahmad Kamal, Deputy Minister of Youth and Sports. Up next, continuing the discussion on whether or not a youth party is what Malaysia needs. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to the Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking with Wan Ahmad Faizal, Wan Ahmad Kamal, Deputy Minister of Youth and Sports. Now, Faizal, we've just covered the issue of support letters, as well as the role that Armada has to play. Now, I have a couple of issues with the idea that politics needs to come with wisdom, which only comes with age. It very much seems as if that has been used to keep down younger politicians with good ideas who might otherwise have been able to put forward their ideas on a wider national level. As Chief of Armada, wouldn't that be something that you would encourage, you know, regardless of age?
Definitely. We shouldn't confine participation in politics by confining them to certain age group. That is definitely not a rule of thumb to be in politics, because it has to reflect the current demography of our people. And we all know in Malaysia, almost half of our populations are basically youth, in the youth age group, at least 40 and below. And this is a big constituency for all parties to address to. But the issue that at stake now, I think, because the current stigma against traditional-based parties is that some old grand parties, maybe I just should make it more blunt, UMNO or even PAS, yeah, maybe they are not youth-friendly because they have been there for so long and so entrenched. The system at the grassroots level, as we all know, they call warlords. MPs who have been there for, what, more than 5 terms, maybe they are the one who scuttle the opportunities for our youth to be involved in politics. Maybe they've seen the youth wing as a token only. But that doesn't happen in Bersatu, because Bersatu is a new party. And it was created by Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. And we have empowered people like Syed Saddiq before, and now they have been empowering me in replace of Syed Saddiq. So I think the commitment to empower youth in politics is very much real in Bersatu and also in other parties like PKR, Amanah, DAP. We could see that. And that comes at a price, because when you try to empower the youth, maybe you will be sidelining certain leaders from certain age group. And Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin has proven to be tactful in balancing the demands from all groups of people in the party.
Now, Faisal, you referenced the fact that, of course, Armada at one point, Bersatu empowered leaders like Syed Saddiq, who have since, of course, left the party quite acrimoniously. Now that there are new parties in the picture, Pejuang, for example, this proposed youth party, do you anticipate losing members of Armada to these new parties if they come to pass? I mean, already we have seen some changing of the loyalty lines since the split cap happened.
I'm not worried. Because why? Because Syed Saddiq, I'm so sorry, I know him very well. His presence in Armada was, he helped a lot. He provided the leadership. But in terms of congruency with party's ideology, Syed Saddiq was not there. And this is where I think whatever he's trying to do with Muda, whatever he calls it, is very much confined to certain group of people. Maybe it's going to be more urban-centric in nature, because if the party does not have an ideology, it's very hard to reach out to the target group. Because when you say you are just championing for youth, it's so vague and so restrict, so nebulous to me. Like, in contrast to Bersatu, Bersatu is a Malay nationalist party. Our constitution is clear. We fight for the Malay and the pribumi, the Bumi Putra, the son of the soil, regardless of whether it's Sabah, Sarawak or Semenanjung. And we are also open. We are also cosmopolitan in nature, because we open for now the new membership to non-Malays or non-Bumi. Yeah? And this has always been there as an associate member before this. Now with the arrival of Ratuska Azmin's camp, we are very much planning to go to grow bigger with our new members from the non-Bumi constituency. So we are not worried about Muda, Muda's ability to pinch our members, because our members are those who are very much committed to the struggle.
All right. And now, Faisal, I'd also like to turn our attention to some of the issues that are facing youths today, since you are Deputy Minister of Youth and Sports. When it comes to education, you've also spoken up about some of the gaps that you might see within the educational system, particularly when it comes to vernacular schools. I'd just like to hear more of your thoughts on this matter.
Yeah. Basically, like many other Malay leaders, we are championing single-stream school for the sake of nation building. We are not discrediting the vernacular school for the sake of discrediting them. Because I think Malaysia, after 63 years of our nationhood, the issue of national unity is still at a very low level. And this has to be addressed urgently without any political insinuation to any of the parties or group of people or communities. And we have to call a spade, that in order to galvanize national unity at the grassroots level, the younger generation of Malaysians at the primary school must come together, eat together, play together, learn together with a common language in school. And that's why I believe our former leader, Tun Dr. Mahathir, he championed Sekolah Wawasan, because the idea is for those students to mingle around. And if that happens, if we can commit to that, I believe we can really do wonders to our national unity.
Couldn't that same principle be applied to race-based political parties in general? Because if we're talking about fostering unity from a young age, right? Children learn from the example of their elders. So is it really vernacular schools that's more to blame, or is it the kind of divisive politics that are propagated by some of our current leadership that have failed to foster a strong national identity?
Well, first and foremost, human nature in every society since time immemorial, we will never able to shed our identity or tribal spirit. Yeah, this is what being studied by many historians, sociologists, political scientists. Group solidarity, or we call it asabiya in Arabic term, is something ingrained in all races. Yeah, so we have to respect this. The diversity must be respected as such. But to work for a common goal, as I said earlier, about national unity, since we are new, we are a young nation, not like the United States of America. They've been there for 300 years, or European countries, thousands of years. They have gone through all the critical episodes in order to create a nation that is united. Maybe not in terms of religion, maybe in terms of language. You can see that in many developed countries, we could see they have common cultural identity at least, although they have different colors and creed. So in Malaysian case, we are much different because we are new. And the three major races in Malaysia, we are not connected by anything. There's no commonalities between us except language called Bahasa Kebangsaan or Bahasa Melayu. So this is the only card that we can use to really play our game right in order to instill national solidarity among all races. But that doesn't happen or cannot happen unless there's no political will and sincerity to discuss things that are matter. And I agree with Professor Teo Kok Siong's view that our national school, in order to attract the non-Bumi, the non-Malays to come back to national school, it cannot be seen as too Islamic. And I agree with this view. On top of vernacular schools problem, we also have problems with national schools. And it has to be more moderate in nature so that it is more inclusive for everyone. And I am a great champion of national school. We should really restructure, rebrand, and strengthen the identity of our national school so that all parents from all races and religion feel comfortable to send their kids there. Like when I was growing up in Melawati in Gombak 20 years ago.
I've been speaking with Wan Ahmad Faizal, Wan Ahmad Kamal, Deputy Minister of Youth and Sports. Stay tuned to this special extended edition of The Breakfast Grill, where after this we'll be discussing the issues facing our athletes. But now, the 8:30 news, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to this special extended edition of The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking with Wan Ahmad Faizal, Wan Ahmad Kamal, Deputy Minister of Youth and Sports. Faizal, I'd like to turn our attention now to sports as well. I think when COVID-19 and the MCO started to happen, there were a lot of concerns over how our Malaysian athletes would be able to survive essentially the death of live sporting events when they rely primarily on sponsorship campaigns, for example. So the question then would be, is enough being allocated to help these athletes tide over the COVID-19 period?
Definitely what happened to our sporting industry all over the world is unprecedented, just to cite our Prime Minister who loved to use that word. And we have to adapt to the new norms. If we feel the pinch, the Japanese felt the is feeling the weight of postponing or in fact cancelling Olympics, which they have spent billions of dollars to create the infrastructure. And not to mention the other billion-dollar worth industry like Premier League, and rugby and all other sectors in all over the world. So to help our athlete, the ministry has already prepared many incentives and initiatives. One of the major things to facilitate our sportsmen is what we call MACE program, Malaysian Athlete Education, some sort of career education program under our National Sports Council, where once they become part of our National Athlete or Podium program, we will definitely help to plan their career by the beginning of their career as a sportsman, even after their retirement. So if you can see that the program that we are running, I think we are doing quite well. Just that I think our athletes, they need to be more disciplined in their approach to their planning after retirement, because mostly they earn a lot during their peak days. Once they retire, they need to manage their assets and their talents They must have some concrete plans. I think our modern athletes, they are ready for that. Just that we need to do some hand-holding to some of them. And I think in this new climate, more assistance maybe must be done or strategically partner with private sectors who also thinking that the sporting industry must be benefited, must be helped in order to boost their businesses as well, because especially with regards to food-based industries, technology, entertainment, yeah, because sporting industry does not mean sports only. It means a lot of other stuff that relate to sports. Our Malaysian Football League already started, and we are already practicing the current SOP where no spectators are being allowed to enter the stadium or the venue of the event, and those athletes involved must be screened, must undergo a swab test. They must be confined to certain places for their trainings, and they must abide to the rules and regulations as any ordinary Malaysians under movement control order.
Will we see these SOPs that have currently been put in place on the MFL extended to other sporting events, perhaps?
Yeah, definitely. What currently being practiced in MFL and as what being practiced in when we organise for racing at Sepang Circuit, they are the gold standards of sport, of how to organise and managing sporting events during COVID. And this has been endorsed by the Ministry of Health and also the National Security Council.
All right. The other issue that has only just recently come to light is research that has been released on gender-based violence in the sporting arena here in Malaysia. Now, AWAM, or the All Women's Action Society, has just signed an MOU with the Paralympic Council of Malaysia to tackle sexual harassment issues in Malaysian sports on the back of some alarming statistics compiled in 2017 by College Polytech Mara, saying that effectively 16% of the athletes surveyed admitted to having experienced sexual harassment in sport, which boiled down to 1 in 5 male athletes and 1 in 10 female athletes. So what is being done about this on the federal level?
Thus far, policy discussion on this issue, honestly speaking, I'm not aware of it. But at our ministry, we do have a solid program called Women in Sports, which is very much about championing and amplifying a woman's role, women athletes' role in sport, not just the professional ones, but also the common sports involving common people. And I'm aware that AWAM is championing the issue on sexual harassment, and I think as part of the administration, we will support the bill that's going to be debated and introduced in next parliamentary sitting. And if there are issues, as you raised just now, definitely that will be put under our disciplinary committee for actions to be taken against those who perpetrate, who harm those athletes, sexually speaking.
All right. And now, of course, Faisal, Budget 2021 is expected in November, and it's supposed to be a budget to kind of help the Malaysian youth succeed, or that was what it was touted as. Ahead of the budget release, what is on your wish list?
My wish list, I definitely would like to see more tax breaks for sports operators, because I think at the moment they are struggling, very much struggling. And if we could allow more leeways for them, I think we can at least generate more interest among our people to be involved in our sporting industry. And hopefully they can stay afloat for at least 1 year more to go before COVID. Hopefully we can get the vaccine ready. And on top of that, I believe I would really want to see more budget for youth empowerment, especially when it comes to upskilling our youth in order for them to adapt to the new economic conditions where the COVID-19 basically accelerate our transition from old model economy to digital ones. So most of the youth that I've been in touch with, especially at rural areas, they are very much lagging behind. We do need to help them a lot, especially when it comes to education and access to all the assistances rendered by all ministries, especially from ministries of human resources. I think this is where the youth deserve attention from the government, and my commitment as the youth chief of Amanda and deputy minister of youth and sports is very much unrivaled, and we will champion this together with our partners, regardless of whether it's the same side of the divide from Perikatan Nasional, or even with my fellow brother Syed Saddiq from the Muda movement.
All right. Well, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Faisal. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Wan Ahmad Faisal, Wan Ahmad Kamal, Deputy Minister of Youth and Sports, as well as Chief of Armada, the youth wing of Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia. I'm Lynn Mark, and this has been The Breakfast Grill, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.